Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. Rack Steel has the expertise to get you operating faster. With forklifts and pallet racking in stock, visit them online at racksteel.com. Landon Ferraro is in studio with us. We were going to talk a lot of Stanley Cup playoffs. However, we have major breaking news to report. Elliot Friedman just moments ago on Twitter, there is word this afternoon that Rick Tocchet will not be returning as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Believe there will be a full statement with his rationale in the next little while, but add Vancouver to the teams looking for a new bench boss. So again, per Sportsnet NHL Insider, 32 Thoughts podcast host Elliot Friedman, there is word this afternoon that Rick Tocchet will not be returning as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. On that note, Landon, how's it going?
It was going pretty good. It was just a normal, nice little day, and all of a sudden things kick into high gear a little bit.
Okay, so, we're on the spot here, so just your initial reaction to the report that Rick Tocchet will not be back as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a little shocked, not as much as how I thought he was going to be back as the season was winding down, and even at the year-end pressers, like, I just still felt like he was going to be back. But as it stretched past their soft deadline last week of saying we'll have this done one way or another, and it stretches to this week, it started to make a little more sense. But at the same time, I don't know if it was just hope, because I like seeing him behind the bench here. I like being around him, listening to him in his scrums. He's done a great job here, and the guys clearly like and respect him. It's going to be a big loss, but it's not something that they wouldn't have already been working on as well. Like, they've been looking behind, they got to do their due diligence as well.
Drantz, reaction.
So I think there'll be some sense of disappointment among Canucks brass today, and that Rick Tocchet was definitely their first choice. But I also think when you are naming a head coach, when you are bringing in a head coach, when you are considering a change, or when a change occurs as a result of an individual's decision, I think you look at the trade-offs. And I think one of the parts of Tocchet's departure that I think concern me, and I think will be something that the likes of Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin reflect on here, is the structural integrity that Tocchet brought to this team systematically has become a calling card. Like, this team played Rick Tocchet hockey and had success doing so, especially compared to some of their previous results, as disappointing as this campaign was. You had a lot of players, especially sort of down lineup players, fourth liners asked to play on the third line, third liners asked to play on the second line over the course of the season, who crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. Your Kiefer Sherwood tier, Nils Höglander the prior season, Sam Lafferty the prior season. I mean, go down the list. Like, there's a lot of down lineup guys that absolutely smashed under Rick Tocchet. Now, I think one of the other trade-offs here that the organization will consider is, and I'll frame this as a question to you, gentlemen. If I were to say to you, none of this matters unless, how would you finish that sentence?
Elias Pettersson gets back to form.
Elias Pettersson gets back to form.
Yeah.
None of this matters unless Elias Pettersson gets back to form. And to some extent, right, is there value for this team now in having a change behind the bench, even if it's a change that the organization didn't welcome, from the perspective of a new voice to try and ferret out more from Pettersson to help Pettersson get back on track? Not that Tocchet wasn't going to be capable of it, not that those two weren't going to be able to partner successfully going forward. I don't think that at all. But there is an element to which I think my secondary reaction, my first reaction is that's tough, especially because Tocchet and Quinn Hughes are really close. And we all know what the stakes of this season are, especially because I think this team is pretty well designed to play the types of hockey that Tocchet believes in and can execute. But there's also an element to which, as we move forward here, assuming that Friedman's reporting is dead on, which it usually is, although I haven't confirmed it, which is the only reason I qualify that, the sort of question of moving forward here, I think has to, none of this matters unless, well, whoever this new bench boss is, whatever, however this team moves forward, the opportunity here is to identify a head coach capable of getting more, of getting through to Pettersson, of getting Pettersson back on track.
Yeah. And I think you're right that to look at this as, okay, it's not their first choice, but is there a way to pivot and turn this into an opportunity, right? You get a chance for a different voice. Can you find a way to carry over the structure that Rick Tocchet instilled and build on from that with a new coach and a new voice? And we're going to have the talk about coaching candidates and what they need and all that. We can get into that in this segment. In fact, I do think it's worth, though, just pausing. Like, my number one reaction to this isn't so much what's it going to do for how the team plays hockey. It's, I said it on the show yesterday, this almost feels like a dry run for convincing Quinn Hughes to sign a long-term extension. Like, you have a key figure who's in demand around the league that you believe in, that you think is really important to your success, and they have the ability to call their shot. What are they going to do? Can you convince them to put pen to paper and stick with you and buy into your plan? And we'll see what the rationale is from Rick Tocchet. Friedman alluded to that there'd be a statement of some sort, but they weren't able to do that. And for me, just when I think back to Bruce Boudreau leaving, Tocchet coming in, the amount of investment this management group put in Rick Tocchet and how he delivered on that and had success, certainly in the previous season, it's just a really tough look to then lose that guy and have him voluntarily walk away when you wanted to keep him. That, like, and it's not to say that you can't get past that. I mean, the Boudreau thing was a bad look, but it worked out great. So sometimes bad looks turn out to be into a good situation, but it's just a tough blow. It's like a major blow to me for management to lose Rick Tocchet this way.
And I, you know, just thinking about it, like, this was a really long, tough year, and you know, I couldn't imagine there was one day that Rick Tocchet didn't wake up and not already have a couple different fires he was either trying to still put out from the day before or fresh new ones. Like, this would have been a very draining year for him. And at a certain point, you know, maybe, again, like this, you know, I haven't talked to him, but like at the same time, it would make sense if he's sitting there and just like, you know what, like, I need a fresh start. Like, I like almost a bit shell-shocked of what he just went through. And, you know, looking at other teams, you know, through the past handful of years, like, who else has had like this turbulent of a year that they've had to get through? And the fact that it coincides right with his contract being up and all of it, like, it was just kind of the perfect storm of not good things stringing together.
Yeah, it's, I think it is another thing that this tells us, and we started to get an inkling of this, I think, from the player media availabilities, but also from Rick Tocchet and from management, is just what a toll this season took on everyone in the organization, right? Like, I think there's a universe where the team has a disappointing season, but in a much less draining matter, that, and then maybe Rick Tocchet is still here, and I think, again, we're just starting to kind of really get the full picture of it, Drancer, that this season was tough, was really tough for the people going through it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and I think it was tough before that, to be totally honest with you. Like, yeah. I don't think the success in 2023 and 24 maybe papered over some of what we came to describe as the rift, made it maybe a little bit more manageable. But the truth is that it was always there. Right. Like that, this factor was always there, always something that was being managed, even when, you know, the team had momentum and a real shot at eliminating the Oilers, for example, at this time last year. So, you know, I think there's a lot to unpack here. Right. What this means for the Canucks going forward is obviously the biggest question. Exactly what happened is part of this. Again, from what I'm hearing, this was not a financial decision. Like, this was not a negotiation that fell apart. This was an individual decision from the head coach about sort of what was best for him. And, you know, exactly what that is or exactly why he reached that decision, I assume we'll learn more in the days and weeks to come. But my gut, just from looking at Tocchet's record and from covering him daily, right? And having the opportunity to talk to him here and there. My gut is this is a guy who's been through, whether it was in Tampa, Arizona, or what we saw unfold this season, and some of the sort of storm clouds gathering on the horizon for the Canucks, whether that's on the Quinn Hughes file or on the Demko file or what have you. You know, I think probably looked at it and thought, man, I have to choose my next step really carefully. I am too competitive not to give myself the best opportunity available to me to win.
Yeah. I don't know that we'll go into specific candidates here now, but obviously now the Canucks have a head coaching vacancy that they need to fill, and there's a bunch of vacancies out there in the NHL. So I'm sure they'd like to get a jump on that sooner rather than later. And when you just kind of take a step back and looking at this team in perspective now, Drance mentioned Elias Pettersson. Everything depends on him getting back to form. So you want a coach who you think has a chance to do that. Quinn Hughes is 1 year away from being eligible for an extension. So you want someone who can connect with Quinn Hughes, earn that respect, have a good working relationship, maybe not quite to the level that Tocchet did, because of course we've heard so many times how much Hughes liked Tocchet, but that's going to be important as well. Like when you just think about all of the tasks ahead of the next head coach, what are the characteristics, what are the qualities that you think they need to be targeting for their candidates for the position?
I think right off the top is a very good communicator and someone that grabs respect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's big because, you know, like you, when we first started talking about this, like you bring up, you know, how Tocchet gets these guys playing and like they have the, you know, more than the bones, but they got, you know, they have the bones of a very good defensive structure. Mm-hmm. So like you don't need someone to come in and completely revamp the entire way they play. It's more about trying to maximize the players that are already here and the ones that are coming in, obviously adding their own little touches to it to hopefully, you know, find different ways to improve the team as well. But I think it's about, you know, especially with Pettersson, like you talk about a fresh start and, you know, he's had a few fresh starts in the past year now. But for him, like he's now going to be coming back and there is, other than what the guy's seen in the media and everything, like there is no history with him. And that's good and bad. Like he has to fully gain that guy's respect. Like he hasn't seen him coming off an amazing season. Like mm-hmm. he's seeing him coming off a really tough season. And on top of everyone else, you know, essentially calling out his summer and making sure that he puts in the work, like it from day one. And that's the same for everyone else. Like they're going to have to come out very focused and ready to go. So I think it's big to have a communicator, but also not someone that's been around for a really long time. I think that's important too. Like this is a bit younger team. You're trying, so now if we're talking about Hughes, like someone that he can grow with as well if he's here for the long haul, not a guy that's been around for forever, really.
Yeah, and I mean, we're still waiting to see exactly what the list of candidates will look like. I don't mean the Canucks list, but just in general, who's available, if other names shake loose here, potentially after round one, of experienced coaches, who else might be on their radar. Drance, what are your just kind of first thoughts about directions this coaching search could take for the Vancouver Canucks here in the wake of the news that Rick Tocchet won't be back?
Well, I think the conversation has to start with Mike Sullivan, right? I don't
Does it,
feel
though?
Like that's...
Like
I think
is
so.
It, is to me, and I could be wrong, and I heard Frank Saravalli on the show yesterday saying don't sleep on it. I've also heard Elliot Friedman say he doesn't think it's happening. I have a tough time seeing it. I have a tough time seeing the financial outlay that it would take to bring Mike Sullivan here. I understand the relationship. Obviously, the Stanley Cup winning relationship between Mike Sullivan and Jim Rutherford. I get that. It just feels like such a long shot to me. It feels like a bit of a pipe dream.
It doesn't feel like a very Canucks-y move.
No.
I think you're right to point that out. But that said, you know, again, my understanding is that the organization stepped up, that you know, this didn't fall apart over finances with Tocchet and the Canucks. So, you know, I'm not saying that they've completely changed their stripes or gone away from the model that we've seen, you know, Alain Vigneault and Willie Desjardins and Travis Green and company sort of all go through across a 15-year time horizon.
I'm just saying Kevin Weeks threw the $7 million a year number out there for Mike Sullivan, right? And the
Rangers, it's a big number.
James Dolan and the Rangers are going to come calling, right? So, maybe they change and they decide to do it, but man, it's a big number.
I'm not predicting it.
Okay.
I'm not predicting it. I'm saying that's where our conversation has to start, right? That's the, if we were in a performance review, Jamie, it would be like our stretch goal for the quarter, right? Our stretch goal for the quarter
in
terms of a coaching search. Yeah. Is well, at least credibly pursue him.
Sure.
Why would this team not be in the mix? Like, forget all the reasons that we don't expect it or why it would be uncharacteristic. Yeah. But like, what do we know about this offseason? Right? What do we know about this offseason and the stakes for this team? Right? If there is a coach available, like if you're Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin, I know I'm doing a lot of this feeling my way through it, but mm-hmm. I think it's helpful to do. If you're Jim Rutherford or Patrick Alvin, and this is a season where, oh boy, we have to do the absolute best we can to field a winner so significantly appealing to our captain that his future isn't even a topic of conversation when we present him with a massive extension offer next summer. Like, we have to have success this year. We have to get back on track. We have to be all in. And this organization is all in. Okay. If you're thinking about your offseason in those terms, now the head coach that you think is the best on the planet is available. How much is that worth to you? Like, really, how much is that worth to you? Is 7 million, is that really a number you won't go to? Like, really? What? We're talking about an instant shot of credibility.
I get
for
it.
For an organization that has bled some of it across the last 6-7 months. It's at least a conversation you have.
You asked, though, why couldn't you land Mike Sullivan, right? And we'll see what Rick Tocchet has to say about why he's leaving, but what have we heard reported recently, right? Lack of a practice facility. I'm guessing Mike Sullivan would like to have a practice facility. Uncertainty about Quinn Hughes' future. That's probably not changing if Mike Sullivan signs. So you have to meet the dollar figure, which is a stretch for this organization. We know, because it's going to be substantially higher than whatever talk it gets at his next gig. You have to meet the dollar figure just to get in the conversation, but then you've got all these external factors as well that potentially played a role in Rick Tocchet, and we know that Mike Sullivan, again, the New York Rangers are hot and heavy after him. So I hear what you're saying. Like, present yourself as a credible franchise that, hey, there's no reason we couldn't land the top guy on the market. We have a relationship. We're going to do it. Go through the process. But to me, it's very, very much a stretch goal. Like, you have the relationship between Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan would have to be so incredibly meaningful to Mike Sullivan, I think, for him to make that decision to come to Vancouver.
And honestly, like, I think that relationship would be the reason that the conversation even really happens.
Yeah.
Like, I think from his side, I just don't see him ending in Pittsburgh with what the roster looks like there, and then coming to Vancouver with all these question marks as well. Like, if it was a year from now and they've already had this massive summer and you can see what the results look like, it's another story. But with all the question marks, like, he's not at a point in his career where he needs to take that risk, I think.
New York has a lot of risk.
All the jobs have risk. I think it's like, it's very fair to say all the jobs have warts and risks attached to them. So yeah,
it's not like we're talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning panicking and doing something with John Cooper. And it's like, well, I can go take over that ready to win roster, right? Like, all these teams have vacancies for a reason, at least at the moment. Look, I get that the Canucks might not be sort of a top of line destination franchise right now, but also, you have to carry yourself like you can be.
Yep.
Right? You have to carry yourself like you can be.
It'd be a lot easier if you had like the billboard of a practice facility plan to show the coach. You know what I mean? Like the big poster board that you could say, like, hey, look, we're building this. We've got the parcel and everything. That would make it a lot easier.
Brother, that's the clipboard that you sign the contract on, so you can just keep looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. Look how nice it's going to look. We Photoshop the people walking in front of it.
You need the full diorama. You need the practice facility for ants.
That's right.
It needs to be at least four times bigger than this.
That's what you need.
Before we get out, and we're going to rearrange the show, obviously, so, you know, full coverage of this decision and what it means for the Canucks coming up in the second hour here. But before we get out of this segment, we're looking ahead. But I think it is worth taking a moment to look back as well, because for all of the frustration and disappointment of this season, the season before was legitimately one of the most successful in the franchise's history, right? Quinn Hughes wins the Norris. Rick Tocchet wins the Jack Adams. You're one game away from going to the Western Conference Final, one of the best regular season records in team history. So you have to count this season as well. But from beginning to end, from him taking over from Bruce Boudreaux to the end of this season and now his decision to walk away, what do you think you will remember about the Rick Tocchet era in Vancouver?
I would say the big turnaround of how this team played.
Yeah.
It went from essentially zero structure to straight structure and then opening up the reins a little bit through last year and letting them go. I think that, you know, I think he did, I mean, it's not, I think he, I know he did a really good job here. And the fact of all the players that took not just like a tiny step under him, but a massive step. And, you know, that alone speaks to it. But, you know, just even thinking, you know, personally about last year, like that was my first year from retiring and the first year like kind of watching hockey being done, and didn't really like it at the start, not having a lot of fun. And then by the, you know, Christmas time, the way that he had this Canuck team playing, it was impossible not to watch. Like, it was so fun the way that they would just overwhelm teams in the offensive zone and then just stick over them like a blanket through the neutral zone and D zone. Like, it was fun hockey to watch. And that comes right from him leading down to Quinn Hughes and then out through the rest of the team. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And then this year, just watching him be able to stay in it throughout everything, and it didn't ever feel like he was just trying to say the right words to keep people off his back. It felt like a guy that, until literally the, you know, the end of game 82, like talking to the media at pregame skate, like he's still thinking about how to make the team better that night. And it's not lip service. Like, the guy cares.
Trance?
Yeah, he never played the lineup he was given. That's our watchword on this show, Landon, for when we think a coach has quit, is when they just like play the least thoughtful version of their lineup, like what was on the whiteboard on September 1, you know, and that's how you know it's just like they're not even trying anymore. It's just like, what do you want me to do? That's always the watchword. Tocchet never played the lineup he was given, which I always think is a commendable step for a head coach. I'll remember the greatest single season turnaround that I've ever seen from a team defensively. Like, the extent to which this team was a bleep show in terms of what they surrendered, what they were capable of preventing, the way that they played when Tocchet took over, and how quickly we saw this team completely change in terms of how they managed the puck, in terms of that neutral zone wedge, in terms of the plan and the thoughtfulness that was clearly invested, both in terms of roster composition, integrated with this team's systems play, and then seeing that work. And look, it worked in 2023, 2024, as we know, partly because this team had outrageous finishing luck for a couple months. But then, because it was going so well, you sort of gathered this momentum where everyone found it like easier to be focused and easier to be bought in. And we saw this team become a totally different, more robust, contender-level defensive team toward the back half of that season. Honestly, one of the most impressive coaching jobs I've ever covered in my career or ever seen as just a hockey watcher. I think that'll be sort of the first line that we discuss when we talk about Tocchet's sort of Canucks legacy.
Again, if you're just joining us here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650, Elliot Friedman reporting. There is word this afternoon that Rick Tocchet will not be returning as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see if we get any official confirmation from Tocchet or the Canucks here in the next little bit. But obviously, full coverage of this coming up on Canucks Talk in the next hour. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Tons of reaction, of course, already coming in. We'll read some of those coming up. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com. Rick Tocchet's out. What's next for the Canucks? We'll dive into it next on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Those were the words of former head coach now, Rick Tocchet of the Vancouver Canucks, just, 10 days ago at the podium after the season, acknowledging that, yeah, it got uncomfortable for the team this year, especially around the Elias Pettersson and JT Miller situation. It's Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line as we continue to react to the breaking news per Elliot Friedman that Rick Tocchet will not be returning as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks for next season. And there's so many different directions to go.
Jamie,
with Drantz, go ahead.
Let me jump in. Just want to, you know, not that Friedman requires it, but we do go through the exercise. Team sources, multiple team sources confirm the news.
And just again, this is no shade at either Elliot Friedman or Frank Saravalli, but we went through this process with the Vilander report, right? And it turned out, oh, actually there's a bit of a fly in the ointment. So that's why you do the double check. That's why the double check exists.
It just needs to be done.
Yeah. So there you go. The Athletic and Thomas Drantz confirming Elliot Friedman's reporting that Rick Dhaliwal. Ooh, imagine him as head coach. Rick Tocchet will not be returning as head coach.
Quinn!
What are you doing? Let me finish!
Get that Labrador Dorsky guy!
Anyways, Rick Tocchet will not be returning as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And again, there's so many different directions to go with this. I can't help but return to something you and I talked about in the waning days of this season, which was how important it would be and how beneficial it would be to get everything nicely wrapped up in a bow with Rick Tocchet as quickly as possible. And not just with Rick Tocchet, but to get a couple of, like, not home runs, but nice, easy singles under your belt going into the offseason in the form of Rick Tocchet. Maybe you want to call that a double or something, given the importance of a coach, but get Rick Tocchet done and get Tom Vilander done. And now Tom Vilander's not done. We don't have any really update on that situation. And Rick Tocchet, it's done, but not in the direction that you wanted. And entering this pivotal offseason, you know, we'll read some of the text here, but specifically with the Vilander situation, the Rick Tocchet situation now and how it's played out, the specific mention of the lack of a practice facility being a problem, something that came up between Rick Tocchet and the team, the reaction I'm getting from our listeners, certainly texting in right now, and I think the fan base in a broader sense as well, is a bit of a crisis of confidence that, you know, if they had been able to tie these things up nicely going to the offseason, I think could have been completely forestalled. But now there's a real sense of, like, it will get to the Quinn Hughes factor and all of this and their ability to attract talent, but I don't think crisis of confidence is too strong a word for the reaction we're seeing in this moment.
Yeah, I think you should add one more thing onto it, and that's the trade deadline.
Sure.
Right? Because, look, this season went off the rails for a variety of reasons. You know, the fact that this organization still rated Rick Tocchet so highly, the fact that, you know, while his Q rating took a bit of a hit in the Vancouver market, I think, over the course of this year, I think most of us could look at sort of how the team performed and what was going on and still sort of regard Tocchet as a top NHL head coach. Certainly, I expect him to be treated as such as he hits, you know, an unrestricted free agent opportunity for himself. So, you know, as much as all of that transpired, like, what we have to look at is the bets made, right? I think it's not just about, you know, I know there's some commentary, things like, well, you know, should the team have done a better job to manage the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson thing or what have you? And I don't have a good enough, like, tactile sense of what that was like day to day to say yes or no. I can tell you that, you know, it was something that I started to hear about 4 years ago. So I'm sort of not inclined to put that on Tocchet or management's doorstep, frankly. But,
and by the way, the Vancouver Canucks have confirmed it as well.
Statement.
Yeah, the Vancouver Canucks announced today that Rick Tocchet has decided not to return as head coach for the upcoming season. After thoughtful discussions with the team and management, Tocchet has opted to step away from his role, concluding his tenure with the Canucks. I believe there's a further statement as well, but that's the headline in the tweet from the Vancouver Canucks confirming your reporting and Elliot Friedman's reporting as well.
Yeah, fascinating.
And actually, yep. we have quotes from the relevant principals here as well. So from Tockett,
read them out.
I'm choosing to move on from the Vancouver Canucks, said Tockett. Family is a priority, and with my contract lapsing, this becomes the opportune time. Well, I don't know where I'm headed or exactly how this will play out for me over the near term. I feel like this is the right time for me to explore other opportunities in and around hockey. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the entire Vancouver Canucks organization, starting with Francesco and Luigi Aquilini, Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin. It's been a pleasure and a great learning experience to work with you all. To the players, thank you. Regardless of our results, I always felt your heart and effort was there. I was honored to be your coach. To the coaching staff and support staff, you guys are first class, and you made it easy and enjoyable to come to work every day. Thank you for everything you give to help make the team a success. To the media, I appreciate your work and your diligence. Thanks, Talk. Your easy and your difficult questions. You guys do a great job. Thank you. And to Canucks fans, your infectious spirit, loyal commitment, and will to win kept me and the entire team on our toes. I appreciate how you have made yourselves a driving force in the Canucks community. I've enjoyed my time here, and I wish everyone the best. That's from Tockett. Fascinating joint statement here from Rick Tockett and the Vancouver Canucks, right? Like, this is very atypical how this entire process is unfolding and playing out with he's decided to end his tenure, and here's the statement, and goes into a lot of depth thanking everyone. And I can read some of the quotes from the quote from Jim Rutherford as well, but this is an interesting one, a bit of a unique situation here unfolding.
It is a unique situation, and again, I think the key is this is not a negotiation that fell apart, right? I think there's a lot of subtext here, but I think if you were listening to our first segment, right, I think the truth is that Rick Tockett, despite the club wanting to keep him, made a personal decision. And, you know, that personal decision is complicated. He cites family in the statement. Reporting from Friedman suggests that there's other factors. You know, it would be difficult to imagine that Hughes's future didn't loom large in his thinking, and some of the uncertainty surrounding his other top players as well. And so, you know, I honestly think the subtext of this statement screams, like, it doesn't speak loudly, it screams that, hey, this head coach has made a complicated personal decision. And I don't think it's unfair by any means to, you know, wonder in reaction to this, like, did Tockett think he had a chance to win here? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for the franchise?
This is from Jim Rutherford, president of hockey operations for the Vancouver Canucks. After a very long and thorough process, unfortunately, Rick has decided to leave the Vancouver Canucks, said Rutherford. This is very disappointing news, but we respect Rick's decision to move to a new chapter in his hockey career. We did everything in our power to keep him, but at the end of the day, Rick felt he needed a change. He is a good friend, a good coach, and we can't thank him enough for all he did for our organization. Talk is a stand-up guy, and we wish him nothing but the best moving forward. Even this paragraph, which is not attributed to anyone, this is just, you know, big PR copy. Tockett joined the Canucks in January 2023, bringing with him a wealth of experience as both a former player and coach in the NHL. His leadership and commitment to the team during a challenging stretch were greatly appreciated by the organization, players, and fans alike. This is like a 10-year, 15-year tenured head coach retiring. That's what this kind of statement is almost to me. You know what I mean? More so than we're parting ways and this coach has decided he can't win here. It's just a fascinating statement and approach to all of this from both Rick Tockett and the Canucks. And, you know, you were alluding to
Jamie, I actually think you just touched on something complicated, but I want you to unpack it at greater length. That comment that you had before,
that it's like a 10 or
why you thought it was so unique,
that it was like a 10 or 15 year head coach who's retiring instead of going somewhere else. Yeah. Right. Isn't that what it sounds like? Like the retrospective of like, wow, he brought all this incredible experience and look how he led us through this challenging time. And, you know, the thank you to the fans from Tockett and to the media, referred to as a good friend by Jim Rutherford. Like, this is as lovey-dovey as a separation between coach and team I can remember in the NHL.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to unpack from that. Like, I think what you just hit on is, I think, gets to the heart of the matter and gets to the heart of why this took maybe 3 or 4 days longer than we expected.
Right.
Right? And then, you know, after waiting, it comes rather suddenly. Man, did I time my vacation well, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
the, you know, truth of it, right, being that Rick Tocchet's a loyal guy. Rick Tocchet's a deeply loyal guy. He's like literally checking off. He said he had a checklist. Mm-hmm. He said he had a checklist. It's not just a checklist he wanted to go through in terms of his process. It's a checklist of people he saw and interacted with every day that he wanted to like name check. The media, thank you for your hard questions. Yep. and your easy ones too. You know, the support staff, like he really wanted to do this his own way. And I think that probably reflects, I think I often use the word thoughtful to describe how the Canucks approach things under Tocchet. And I think that stands out here too. There's thought put into all the people that he wanted to touch on. There's, you know, there's a sense that I think when you read the length and breadth of that statement and all the people name checked, where you get a sense that, yeah, this is a loyal guy who's not making this decision lightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point, is the weight of the decision from Tocchet's perspective really comes across here. Like, this was not an easy decision. If it was an easy decision, we would have heard a week ago. It would have been, okay, see ya, bye. I'm calling Philly. I'm calling Danny Barrière right now. It clearly, the fact that it dragged on strongly indicates, and his statement indicates, that this was a very, very difficult decision for Rick Tocchet. The crisis of confidence thing that we were talking about just before we read the statements and the quotes from both Jim Rutherford and Rick Tocchet, that now is really job number one. And like, forget about the Quinn Hughes factor of it all. You need to rebuild his confidence in your organization. But even taking a longer time horizon here, like you said, hey, with Mike Sullivan, you got to act like you're a big deal franchise that you can swim in those waters, right? Like, you have a credible chance to land Mike Sullivan. And I think just job number one for this organization now is rebuilding that sense of credibility, rebuilding the confidence from fans. And the practice facility, I think, is going to become a lightning rod in this respect, which makes sense because they're about to be the only team in the NHL which does not have a dedicated practice facility. But it feels like it's now becoming a symbol, quite understandably so, a symbol for the lack of credibility and kind of elite off-ice stuff around this organization. And the practice facility is one part of it, but just in general, like from Jim Rutherford, and I'll say it for ownership as well, job number one now is restoring that sense that Vancouver is one of the big money powerhouse teams, powerhouse markets in the NHL, because I don't think we've ever been farther from that point, at least in the reaction we're getting right now, farther from that perception than we are in this moment.
Oh boy, I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, I should say, like, I wasn't around the 70s or the 80s. I'm thinking kind of like West Coast Express to now. You know what I mean? Because obviously, there were some tough moments in the 90s, right, where it was, people were not looking at Vancouver like that. I get that. So I should amend my statement. But maybe this century, or in the last 25 years, we're at the lowest point in that kind of perception.
Well, I mean, I think there were times in the teens and times in the late stages of the Benning era where things felt pretty messy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to, on the crisis of confidence point, right, suggest that a Jack Adams winning head coach, highly regarded around the league, part of John Cooper's Team Canada staff, invited to coach Team Canada at the Worlds, which he declined. You know, a coach of that stature, who has a deep personal relationship with Canucks management, deciding to step away at this juncture, especially given that from what I can gather, it doesn't appear to have been about money. I think that, you know what? I brought up the finances part, but it's like, either way, that, you know, the fact that it's not about, doesn't seem to be a financially motivated decision, in some ways is more concerning, right, than the deal falling apart because the club has a philosophy about how to slot coaches' salaries or what have you, and it's part of the plan.
Well, because I also think for the financial thing, because we are getting a lot of people texting and like, oh, they couldn't even pony up for Tocchet for the guy they love. And you're reporting, and I think we want to make it very clear, you're reporting. Can I call it reporting? Not just a sense, but reporting? Right?
I would say that what I was hearing late in the process, including this morning, was that the club had stepped up to make sure that finances were not the reason for this decision. And my strong belief is that that was not what Tocchet was heavily weighing in making this determination.
Okay, I think that's a good way to put it. But the one of the things that jumps to mind for me when I hear that is, okay, let's say, just a wild speculation here, that Rick Tocchet thinks he could get the same contract, same dollar, same years from Philadelphia, all right? So in that sense, it's like, well, the financial thing's not a problem. Hey, we're offering him the same. We're paying him market rate. It's not because we're not paying him what he's earned. But this is where the practice facility and all the other off-ice stuff, if you are at a disadvantage in those areas, does just meeting the market rate get it done for in-demand people, right? There's almost a situation where if you're falling behind in the ability to create a winning environment for your coach, like, you got to pay a tax on that, right? So his market value might be X somewhere else, but it's like, well, but if you want me to stay in this, which is a suboptimal environment, like, I really wish I had a practice facility, I'll stay. I'm willing to work around it, but it might cost a little bit more then. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that they weren't willing to pay, but it's that there's and again, this is speculation on my part, but just my read of it is, do you have to pay above market rate in a situation like this because you lack some of those other perks, which, again, I think the story of the practice facility is it's gone from being like a nice bonus or a nice perk to a must have. That's kind of
a must have.
That's where we've gone to in the NHL now. And I think this is a reflection of it. It's like, hey, you met my asking price. That's great. But I can get that asking price somewhere else and maybe also be in a better position to do my job there.
Yeah. I mean, these facilities are, you know, the heartbeat of a team, right? Like, there are teams, lots of organizations that have the following terminology as something you would just check on logistically. Right. But when trying to figure something out, game rink and the rink, right? Like, oh, yeah, we're going to the game rink, right? The arena might be central to fans, but it becomes secondary to like the day to day life of the team itself. Just like MLB teams, right, are really based in Florida and then they come up to play some games.
Yeah.
Right. Or Florida or Southern or California or Arizona. Yeah. They're based in the southern part of the United States. And then the Toronto Blue Jays come up and play a run of games in Toronto, but like the heartbeat of that organization's down in Dunedin or wherever it is these days.
Dunedin.
And so, yeah. So, you know, that's what practice rinks versus game rinks kind of are. So look, I don't want to get lost on the practice rink thing though, because I do think there's a lot going on here in terms of the uncertainty around the star players. Right. In terms of this team's sort of long term outlook, the ability to win here. And I think where I suppose my reaction might be a little bit more muted than those in our inbox is, you know, the sort of crisis of confidence angle and it being directed at management or what have you. Like, I think there's a fair bit of trust and belief between Alvin and Rutherford and Tocchet. And I think it's more like a deeper, like it's bone deep. It's not how could management have messed this up, in my opinion anyway. It's just like there's been a slow drip. Let's explain it that way. There's been a slow drip, certainly across the entire time you and I have been doing this show, of just like bad bets, short-term thinking, right? And then those bets got better, but the direction was still far too focused on immediate gratification. And I think I keep coming back to the deadline because, to me, that was really the first time in the Rutherford Alvin tenure anyway that the organization made a bet that I was like, what? Like that? I guess Hronek would also qualify, but on a different scale, where like at least I could see what they were gambling for, right? I couldn't understand not selling at this deadline given the trajectory of Hughes's health and Demko's health and Pettersson's form. Like, that made no sense to me whatsoever. And when I come back to that, it's just like I sort of have this reaction that where do you expect to have gotten if you're never willing to do the organizational stuff, the eating your veggies organizational stuff, the investing that needs to happen, I think, in best practices, in brick and mortar, frankly, too, to be the best of the NHL's teams, right? Like, this is a high bar we're talking about. Best of 32. It requires a level of investment, both in terms of an approach and in terms of like a material brick and mortar investment in a practice facility that to this point, you know, and frankly, like I've been talking about it for a decade, Jamie, like this organization has kind of repeatedly ignored. And so the practice facility, which has been, I think for a lot of fans, just something that for a while, like the media asked about it every yep. presser, you know, all of a sudden becomes at some point, right? You don't notice it because it's just a drip, drip, drip. But then all of a sudden you're like, hey, where'd half the water go?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is the moment. So now everyone's looking at the empty glass and it's like crisis of confidence time. And it's like, in some ways, this is just kind of the accumulation that actually has kind of been happening in front of our eyes with sort of moments of hockey brilliance, maybe hiding it a bit or disguising it sometimes better than at other times. You know, that I think has been kind of an ongoing story around this team for certainly the entire time we've been doing the show and maybe for a decade.
It feels like the culmination of a lot of things, right? Yeah. I think that's the word for it. And obviously when it culminates, it's going to draw a lot of attention and people are going to react in the moment. And it's hard to quibble with much of the reaction that we're getting. We will take another break here. Again, 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. I know we haven't had a chance to dive into it too much just because there's so much for us to chew on, but I promise I will read some on the other side. Obviously, a lot of thoughts coming in about Quinn Hughes, a lot of questions about candidates to be the next Canucks head coach, a lot of thoughts in general about Rick Tocchet's decision to depart from the Vancouver Canucks. So we'll get into all of that, and I'm sure more. You have something for us? You're on mute.
I'm on mute?
Yes. Now you're not. Now we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. Canucks PR has just informed the media that Jim Rutherford will be made available today at 3 p.m.
All right.
So we will hear from the Canucks president on this subject this evening.
More Jim Rutherford quotes. Let's go. I hope someone asks him what the status of the Jack Hughes trade is. We'll see if we get an update on that. But at any rate, there you go. Jim Rutherford will speak to the media at 3. We'll figure out the technical side. I'm sure we'll either carry it live here or turn it around immediately so you can listen to it here on Sportsnet 650. And we got one final segment of Canucks Talk next on Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz. We're broadcasting live from the Kintech studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors. For over 50 years, visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. Rick Tocchet out as Canucks head coach, first reported by Elliot Friedman, confirmed by Thomas Drantz, and then since made official by the team as well. Here's what the rest of the day looks like on the station. Bick is going to start the People Show early at 2, right off the hop. Yannick Hansen will join him to react at 2:30. Elliot Friedman will join the People Show for his perspective on what this means for Rick Tocchet and the Canucks going forward. So People Show from 2 till 4, and then of course it'll be Canucks Central of Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. And I should also mention in there at 3 o'clock, Jim Rutherford will address the media at Rogers Arena, and we will carry that live on the station. So tons of reaction coming up. Yannick Hansen at 2, Elliot Friedman at 2:30, hear directly from Jim Rutherford at 3, and then Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah later on at Canucks Central as well. I think we're going to have a chance just for a quick chat with Ian McIntyre here in about 10 minutes as well. But before we do that, I will dive into the inbox as promised. Again, 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. And other than Rick Tocchet, the name coming up the most in the inbox right now, Drantz, is Quinn Hughes. And I'll read a few of them here. Sheldon from Surrey says, does the doomsday clock for Quinn Hughes officially start now that Tocchet is gone? Raph in the sewer. Guys, are we going to be looking back at today as the beginning of the end of the Quinn Hughes era in Vancouver in a couple of years? And Sepp in Vancouver says, in my mind, the two most important important people to the Vancouver Canucks were Quinn Hughes and Rick Tocchet. We've now lost one and significantly increased our chances of losing the other. That's from Sepp in Vancouver. And my initial gut reaction to this, first of all, of course, it's natural to have these questions because we've heard Quinn Hughes heap praise on Rick Tocchet. We know how much Rick Tocchet loved coaching Quinn Hughes. Who wouldn't with what he's able to do on the ice? But I look at it not so much as, well, Quinn Hughes isn't going to stay because Rick Tocchet is no longer here and he loved Rick Tocchet. I think I said it earlier today and even yesterday on the show, but I was looking at this as a bit of a practice run or a dry run to the attempt to sign Quinn Hughes, right? You identify a critical person that you think is critical to the success of your organization in a really important position of power. They're in demand around the league and they have the ability to call their own shot. You have to be able to convince them to stay, and they weren't able to do it. So could you bring in another coach that Quinn Hughes will love and really respect and enjoy working with? Yeah, absolutely you could. There are other coaches out there who will fit that description, but you still need to be able to convince the super in demand person to stay with you, to commit to you, to buy into your vision. They weren't able to do that with Rick Tocchet. I'm sure we'll get more information about exactly why that was the case. But if you weren't able to do it with Rick Tocchet, I think you have to. And again, I think you made the great point about this is a loyal, super competitive guy. And I think that's a lot of the same things you could say about Quinn Hughes. And so will that loyalty and that sense of, hey, I want to stick it out. You know, I have those obligations as a captain. Will those hold some weight? Yeah, they definitely might. But some of those same things held weight were for Rick Tocchet, and the decision still went in a certain way. So the way I see the connection between what happened today with Rick Tocchet and what it means for Quinn Hughes is less about the specific relationship those two had, although that's important, but more just about, does this organization have the wherewithal to lock down the in-demand people who are key to their team? And it remains an open question after today.
Yeah. So I would warn against overfitting, I suppose, in that Quinn Hughes has always had unique considerations, mm-hmm. right? There was always going to be unique, whatever Tocchet decided to do today, like maybe you lost another argument to make, but I don't know that it would materially have altered your chances of keeping Quinn Hughes one way or the other, because think about it. When you make a decision like this, like where you want to live, where you want to work, what's going to loom larger in your mind? Like, oh, I really like my boss, right? That's a big factor. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. Versus I have a once in a lifetime opportunity to compete with my two brothers on the same NHL team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, we're talking about, would it help to have some extra horsepower in our engine as we try to avoid this boat getting stuck in a whirlpool? Like, for sure. But if the whirlpool is big enough, you know, it doesn't really matter. So that's sort of how I would see it. I think what we're kind of dancing around here is this sense that Canucks fans have in the wake of today's news of like an organization that's fallen into disrepair, or the idea that this is like a signpost on the way of a trend line pointing down, down, down,
The sense of being on the precipice is, I would say, right? Like with Quinn Hughes being the thing that would tip it over the precipice and go off the cliff.
And while I certainly understand that, I also think it's important to take a deep breath on a day like today. I'd imagine a lot of the people panicking in our inbox, for example, had been very critical of this team's offensive play style over the course of this season. And I'm not someone who is. I mean, I think it's enormously telling that this team generates pretty well with Quinn Hughes on the ice and not in those minutes when he doesn't play. I think Tocchet's a really good head coach, and I think it's a loss for the organization. I'm by no means minimizing that. I just think in these moments, it's important that we, in analyzing it, and for fans too, in thinking through this, take a deep breath and sort of strip away some of the emotions of this moment and the, well, they lost Rick Tocchet, now they're going to lose Quinn Hughes, right? There's all sorts of ways to bring in an exceptionally credible top-of-the-line head coach, you know, that might end up having a very good relationship with Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
Hughes and Tocchet are close. Okay, they've had a very close working relationship, one that I think both are very fond of. Like, I think there's a lot of fondness in that relationship, a lot of trust in that relationship, and that's important because, you know, we don't see this too much in hockey, but we do see it sometimes where a player takes on so much weight within an organization that they become something more like an NFL quarterback in terms of being like the CEO of winning, having like an executive capacity. We talk about this a bit, the idea of like recruiting, having a role in recruiting and a role in like day-to-day practice habits and, you know, reaching out to your teammate,
the
and
partnership,
building rapport,
right? The partnership
the
as opposed partnership. As opposed to an employee-employer relationship.
And you're that's what you're auditioning for. Like, that's what you're auditioning for if you're the Vancouver Canucks across the next year. It's like, we are a good partner for you, Quinn Hughes, and you can win with us. Now, on that score, losing talk, it certainly dents their case, but I don't think it blows it up. You know, I think it was always going to be determined by larger.
And
items.
My point was that I think Tocchet tells us more implicitly about the strength of the pitch than it does that Tocchet is going. That's what I mean, right? Like, it's like,
okay,
it's not that it's impossible to retain Quinn Hughes because you lost Rick Tocchet. It's that you were going through a similar process where it's like, we're going to pitch this guy we love on staying here, and it didn't work out. And there's an implicit piece of information there about the strength of the pitch and how really competitive hockey people view the strength of the Canucks pitch. That's how I would connect the two more so than, well, he's not going to stay now that Rick Tocchet is gone. And the other similarity, and it's not as unique, but like one similarity between the situations is we all expect Rick Tocchet to walk into a job with Philly if he wants it. We'll see if that turns out, but that's certainly the idea that's been out there. So there's a very logical landing spot that he has a connection with, right? And again, it's not quite on the same scale as Quinn Hughes having this incredibly unique chance to go play with his brothers, but it's again, there's a specific alternative backup that you are pitching against. You know what I mean? It's like, don't do that. Stay with us. We'll see what Rick Tocchet ultimately does if he goes right into another job and if it is Philly. But I think that's another similarity here where it's like, it's not just a general like, oh, maybe I'll go explore my options and see what's out there. It's like, you're going up against this specific, tangible, concrete option with both Tocchet and Hughes that you have to do better than. And they weren't able to do it, at least from the outside looking in right now. And that, I think, is an interesting data point when it comes to eventually pitching Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. And look, I don't know, where Tocchet lands.
We'll see. Exactly. That's the perception, but who knows how it all plays out.
I feel like I'd be surprised if whatever comes next for Tocchet, he doesn't enter into deliberately.
Yes.
You know, like the idea of a quick turnaround, Tocchet's the head coach in Philadelphia, like that really doesn't track for me with so much of what we've seen from Tocchet. I wouldn't be shocked if he really does explore this at greater length, especially because it's not as if he's been interviewing to this point, right? He hasn't. So I would guess this takes some time, and it'll take some time for the Canucks too. You know, one thing that I'll be fascinated to watch play out here, one of the, you know, I guess it's not the headline item today, but a subheader is, what does this mean for Adam Foote? Right now, the Canucks blue line coach, assistant coach for Tocchet's staff since he arrived, has obviously done a pretty good job. I mean, you think about the Myers thing, how well the Hronek bet is hit, Quinn Hughes ascending to a different level. I mean, this team's gotten a lot out of their blue line personnel, whether it's been their star personnel or whether it's been like Eric Brandstrom, right? And head coaches often have their own guy, right? Like their guy. Like, you need it if you're an NHL head coach. You're going to have a staff, but you got to have one guy where worst day of the season, or in the Canucks' case, just a day of this last season, you can close the door and have a, you know, vent and have a tete-a-tete and like really like speak openly about the challenges and what you're going to do. And that's what Adam Foote has been with Rick Tocchet. He's also got a very close relationship with Quinn Hughes, and Quinn Hughes has also praised Adam Foote at great length. Canucks have a head coaching vacancy. You know, I would assume that Adam Foote ends up on Tocchet's next staff wherever he goes, but could he be a dark horse candidate?
Yeah. That's an interesting name to watch.
Especially in the context of the Hughes factor, right? Especially in the context of just preserving some continuity. Obviously we're seeing what Manny Malhotra has done in the American League. There's some other really strong candidates at the AHL and at the NHL levels. Jeremy Colliton was just in this organization, right? Just ran the best NHL power play in New Jersey. They stayed electric even after losing Jack Hughes, which is a pretty impressive feat. So, you know, there's some interesting sort of affiliated names, either directly connected or recently connected to this organization. I still think the conversation should start at Mike Sullivan, just because even if it's a quick no, I feel like we have to eliminate the quick no before we move on.
You got to make the
call down the line.
You got to make the call. Hey, Mike, what's up?
100%.
You doing this or not? Nope. Sorry. Bye. Okay. Best of luck.
Wow, that's so dismissive, man.
No, they're friends. Like they're going to get right down to brass tacks. He's not going to. Well, you know, we got to talk. It's like, hey, man, sorry, I'm going to New York. Okay, bye. That's it.
Yeah, fair. Look. It's a really fascinating decision from Tocchet, I think for a variety of reasons. I understand completely why fans are feeling like this team is sort of circling a drain. I completely get it. And I'm not going to push back on it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you look at the talent that's here and when you consider the head coaching options that this group will have, certainly Rutherford and Alvin are going to be operating with their backs against the wall, but that's not the first time in their 4 years that they've been in this spot with a crisis of public confidence on their hands. And they got the coaching hire right the last time, right? There's been a fair bit of good execution, even if I've been very concerned about the big picture plan. And even if there have been moments like this past trade deadline where it felt a little bit too Benning-ish in terms of the, you know, factors shaping organizational decision-making. And so I completely understand that sort of level of panic, but I also think we do need to hear from Rutherford and let this play out. I want to avoid giving too hyperbolic a first draft of history here.
And we will hear from Jim Rutherford at 3:00. Before we do that, very pleased to have on the line now our colleague from Sportsnet for a quick chat, quick reaction here, Ian McIntyre. And first of all, thank you for making time for us. I'm sure you've got a lot on the go now reacting to this news in Canucks land. What is your initial quick reaction to the confirmation that Rick Tocchet will not return as Canucks head coach?
Well, it will be interesting to hear what Jim Rutherford has to say, and that's where I'll be on the go as soon as I hang up with you guys. But there's no way to couch or spin this as somehow positive or good news for the hockey team. This is bad news for today. And we'll see how it plays out. And I think Thomas makes a good point, and you may want to save the recording of me saying that. Thomas, I think you make a good point that we're going to have to wait before we write the history on this and how ultimately it's going to impact the Canucks. But this was a coach who showed that he could win with this group. He brought in both the structure that this management regime demanded and felt was lacking in Bruce Boudreau. He elevated the culture, which granted was battered a little this season with what I think is it was unprecedented dysfunction in the dressing room, but he also brought accountability. How much have we talked about Elias Pettersson and his problems? And that's because the coach was willing to make it an issue. And so on so many levels, Tocchet did what was asked of him to do when he came in here and showed that, you know, when the team is healthy, they were a very good team. So there's no way for me other than to look at it as really bad news for the Canucks today. Luckily, the season's not until October, and we'll see what they do next. You're right that they did get this hire right. Maybe they'll get another hire right. It also may mean the odds of getting two in a row right are tough, but certainly it's a huge, huge gap. There's all kinds of spin-off, and I know I'm rambling now, but there's all kinds of spin-off ramifications as well. You know, the coaching staff, Adam Foote's incredible impact on defensemen, whether it's Quinn Hughes and Tyler Myers or others, and then Hughes himself and the players. And how does the group feel about this? Because I can tell you, you get a feel from a dressing room. And you know when guys are saying something because they feel like they have to say it because it's not acceptable for them to say otherwise. But the support that Tockett had from the guys in the room, I would say, was almost universal. There's always players who like coaches less than some other players, but the guys really respected him and liked playing for him. And as Quinn Hughes said, that was a guy you wanted to play for. So it leaves a huge hole in the organization.
Yeah, we refer to that disingenuous tone on this program, Mac, as the voice lilt, where it's like you used it a little bit where you were like, Thomas is right, and your voice goes up a little bit, versus if you'd really meant it, it would be like, Thomas is right. And certainly Canucks players talking about Rick Tockett, there is zero voice lilt. Hey, Adam Foote, it's interesting that you steered the conversation to him, because maybe 2 minutes before you joined us on the call, I was noting him as like a dark horse head coaching candidate that I'm not ruling out. I think our expectation would be that he ends up back on Rick Tockett's staff, wherever that might be, following his departure here. But what's your reaction to that theory? I was just spitballing. There's nothing to it reporting wise, just, fill in airtime. What's your gut reaction to that?
Well, I think it's, first of all, it would be the only way I could see him staying, is if he was the head coach. I think he has a special friendship and working relationship with Rick Tockett. I think he's exceptional at what he does, Adam Foote, as kind of a right-hand man. And I think, I think he'll do very well if he's not back in Vancouver. I think he has shown in these 2.5 years that he certainly has the acumen to be an NHL coach. Is he ready to be an NHL head coach? Maybe not after just 2.5 years, but he certainly knows and has the respect of these players and knows the market, and there would be a really beneficial continuity to the structure and the game planning of what this team would be. But I think it's unlikely. I think part of the reason it's unlikely is, and for the same reason, I think it's unlikely but not impossible that Manny Malhotra would be the coach, is that I think, given what this team went through this season, and we're never going to know, I don't think any of us are ever really going to know how difficult it was in that room and how complicated the job was for Rick Tockett. We know, as he told me on the road in one of the late road trips, it's draining, right? And that the coaching staff emptied the tank every day in trying to deal with whatever they had to deal with. But I think having had that kind of season, the Canucks probably need an experienced coach who can address the culture, and if there's any dysfunction left, quickly stamp that out. And I think that's a big ask when you bring in a younger coach or someone who hasn't been a head coach. Of course, having mentioned those two guys, Adam Foote and Manny Malhotra, they have a ton of street cred because they've spent so much of their lives in NHL rooms, and they were such good teammates as players that, you know, maybe it wouldn't be, you know, sorting out culture and leadership in a room. Maybe it wouldn't be as big a challenge for them as it would be for some other first-time NHL head coaches. But the way things went down this year, I've got to think that the preference right now, and again, we're going to hear from Jim Rutherford in a little while, about an hour, I think the preference would be to bring in an experienced guy who has seen a lot and done a lot with NHL teams.
Ian, really appreciate the time. We will let you hang up on us and hustle down to Rogers Arena to hear from Jim Rutherford. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
That is Ian McIntyre. Thanks, from Sportsnet, who, of course, will be covering the Jim Rutherford press conference. Drance, real quick, final thoughts, what you want to hear, what's the most pressing question for you right now before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, again, if what I'm hearing about the way that the organization stepped up in terms of the offer is true, you know, I'm curious to get Rutherford's take on why. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we may never get the full answer. But the why of this, I think, and the scent of the why, the idea that did Rick Tocchet feel like he could win here?
Yeah,
I think that's what Canucks fans are sniffing out in panicking in our inbox. And I think it's got to be the biggest question now facing this organization.
All right, that's it for us today. Of course, perfect timing. It's a big crossover edition of the show tomorrow on Wednesday with Rick Dhaliwal and Don Taylor. Coming up on the station today, 2-hour edition of the People Show with Bick Nizar starts right now at 2. Yannick Hansen joins him off the top to react. Elliot Friedman will join at 2:30 for his thoughts. Jim Rutherford, the presser, will be live on the station on the People Show at 3:00. Bick has you till 4, and then Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah take over with Canuck Central. So lots more coverage of the Rick Tocchet departure coming up. We'll be back tomorrow with even more analysis and thoughts on it here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.